Good morning, everyone. It is an honor to be here to share God's word with you today. So let's do so by raising our Bibles. Please raise your Bibles. Stand and repeat after me, please. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you for all that as Scripture is God-breathed and inspired. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen. Children, you are free to go to Children's Church. Or you can stay here. Oh, no, that's not an option. I'm sorry. You're going soon, but not today. All right. Again, I just want to thank you for this opportunity. It is an honor and a privilege to speak God's word to you. And I just want to share, just as I was standing here with my wife and Pastor was speaking and praying over us, it felt like I was 29 years ago, like I was getting married. Amen. Amen. And we just came up on our 29th anniversary last week, my wife and I. And, yes, and as she was standing next to me, I felt that presence. But also I felt this time, the difference was, when we got married in the Catholic Church, and my relationship with God was different back then. But when I stood next to her this time, it felt like I was not just becoming one with her, but now it's one with her and God. Amen. So there was a big difference I felt in my spirit. So I just thank you, Lord, for that. That is a true blessing. I appreciate that. Thank you, Pastor and his wife. So let's get into God's word. And as you can see, it's about love. Just want to make sure it's up there. Thank you. We're going to read from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And we love because he loved us first. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this commandment: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Praise God. Thanks be to God and his word, because it is true. And that is a lot of love. That's 27 times. I had to count it in 15 verses. You do the math. We have some CPA accountants here. That's a lot of love. And when I was asking the Lord to give me the message, I really wasn't sure exactly where he was sort of taking me. But I knew it was something that he needed me to say to the body. So I was obedient. Because when he said love, I wanted to go the other way. I said, Lord, I don't know if you picked the right guy to preach this word. Because I don't know if I'm the one that shows love the way you really explained it here. And he revealed to me that he did pick the right person. I'm going to tell you right now, there's no one out there that's perfect, but there's only one that I know who is, and that's Jesus Christ. And if he is living in me, then I can show God's love in and through me. So I said, Lord, thank you for choosing me to be the person to speak this word, because I know you're going to equip me to say and do the things I need to do to give you the glory. And he also asked me, what am I doing to help build his kingdom? And that question has been proposed many a times. But in this, he asked me in a certain way that it was definitely not the same as he's done in the past. And I said, Lord, I think I am. I think I'm doing what I need to do to help build your kingdom. And then doubt set in for a moment. And I said, well, maybe I'm not. And then I said, let me dig deeper. And his word revealed that we can't do anything apart from God's love to help build his kingdom. We become paralyzed unless we have the love of God in us to mobilize us. Fear will paralyze us, and the definition of paralyze is the condition of helpless stoppage, inactivity, or inability to act. That is what the enemy wants to do, is to put us in a place where we, as believers, cannot show God's love to others. God's love in us, in turn, will mobilize us. These are words that God put on my heart. I had no clue. I just wrote them down real fast before they escaped me. And I have a lot of other stuff he gave me that I just would be here for a week. Praise God. But I condensed it. I'll try not to go over the half hour. Mobilizing is to increase or to bring to a full stage of development. And I didn't even realize that. I'm like, I don't even use that word, mobilize. I don't even know what that is. So I looked it up. And as I started, I'm like, well, I know it's not from me. It's got to be from him, because that's not how I speak. It's not who I am. That's not a word I would use. But I didn't realize it until I started really looking at it and reading about it. Is the enemy is looking to paralyze. God's looking to mobilize. The enemy wants to keep us here, bound down, held in bondage, and God wants to free us, to set us free to do the will that he's chosen in our lives to fulfill our destiny. But it says here, to increase, to bring to full stage of development. So we're in the process of doing that right now, and we're not there yet. I am not there yet. God is bringing us through, and we are trusting in him to get us to the end, to the finish line. So that was a revelation that God gave to me, and I just wanted to share that with you. Another thing is, we struggle with showing others love, and just the concept of love is perplexing in a way, but we talk about it a lot, but we really maybe have a hard time understanding or even really understanding what it means. And we use it in a casual way, but God's saying, I need you to take this more serious. This is not just a, hi, how you doing? Oh, I love you, and in an affectionate way. It's more of a deeper love. And it's a perfect love. So why do we struggle with love? One of the things is that we can't love ourselves. We feel unworthy to love. So if we can't love ourselves, how are we going to love someone else? And I thought about that, and I said, okay, if I don't feel like I deserve love, why should I feel like you deserve love? Or you. Right? So right there, the enemy stops us. If we believe that, we're stopped in our tracks. We can't go forward. And some of us do believe that, me being one of them. We have unforgiveness towards others and ourselves and others. If we can't forgive and move past that place, then we can't accept God's love in us. The two cannot exist at the same time. And another one is, we don't want to be hurt. We don't want to be exposed or left vulnerable. You really have to lay it all out there to love others the way God wants us to love them, not on a superficial surface level, but deeper level. And to do that, you definitely need to expose yourself and leave yourself vulnerable. But God's telling me right now that He's there to protect you. He's not going to let anything steamroll you. He's not going to let someone come into your life and hurt you. It might feel that way because they might let you down. They might reject you. They might cause some hurt, some pain in your life. But that gives you no reason to not love them. And if we build a wall and we don't allow them to come in, or we don't step out because we feel like we might be hurt, then the enemy is paralyzing us and keeping us immobilized so we can't show God's love to the world. And all of these are fear-based, separating us from God and experiencing God's love firsthand. So we just read that 1 John chapter 4, that there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. The enemy wants us to live in fear so God can't use us. But God wants to exchange that fear for freedom, because we're held captive in our own body here and not even really knowing it, or we choose not to do anything about it and accept it. And God's saying that's not acceptable to Him. We read in Ephesians 4, verse 15, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. So we are maturing, and we are growing towards that perfection as we step out in faith and do what it is that God has called us to do, to show the world the love that He has, not just for us, but more importantly for them also. So I'm going to ask you, if you can describe God in one word, what is it? It is love, we know that. But it is unconditional love, it's going to be an everlasting love, it's going to be eternal love, it's going to endure forever, and it's going to be, what is most important, perfect love. Perfect love only comes from God. Any other love is a counterfeit. Because without God's perfect love, there is no compassion, there is no mercy, there is no grace, there is no patience, there is no forgiveness or redemption. That is what His word says. There is a commandment, though. Because this concept of love is so vital to our well-being that God commands it. He's not asking, He is commanding us to love one another. And that is without regard to what the person is like, what we believe they deserve. We are called to love them because, which is very important, and this is a revelation from God that He's given me through His word, it's just because they are a person just like us. They are deserving of the same things that we deserve, which is God's love. They are searching for the same things that we're searching for, which is God's love. Sometimes we have a hard time loving the ones that are the most close to us. If we have a hard time doing that, how much harder is it to love somebody who has done us wrong? We just dismiss them, push them to the side. We just want to just ignore it. We just don't even want to acknowledge it. We'd rather not even confront it. We'd rather find a way around it. And God's saying there is no way around it. You have to go straight through it. And the only way to do that is to show God's love to them. Because like I just mentioned, they are deserving, they are in need, and that is what they are searching for. So we have what they are searching for. It is in us. They're coming to us, and guess what we're doing? We're turning our back on them. Because we, and it isn't us, it's God in and through us that's going to do it, but we in the flesh decide we can't handle that. It's too big for us. That person done something to us that maybe we have a hard time forgiving them for. So God does command us to love one another. In Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 31, we'll read, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these, says the Lord. So he commands, and Jesus explains. Think of it this way. Look at your neighbor with love as you would like God to look at you. Show them the same love that you would like God to show you. As I was preparing this message for 2 or 3 weeks, and I do have the luxury, Pastor gives me plenty of time to meditate over this, is to put this into actual practice and really focus on it, because as God's ministering to me his word and revealing to me these things in a different way, I can see it unfold the way his word is presenting it, and I can see the changes that are happening. And what I really felt was a peace as I thought about what God was ministering to me. As I would react in a certain way, I felt an overwhelming peace of, that's not who I am. That is not of God. And I just came to a point where I said, if it's not of you, Lord, I don't want any part of it. And when I did that, as soon as something negative came into my head, as soon as someone did me the wrong way, I just asked the Lord to take it. I don't want it. It's not of you. And I didn't give it one second, another second, or no, another thought. It just didn't come to mind. It didn't matter to me. It did not make a difference. What mattered to me was, what is God going to do to use me, and how would he want it to use me? And if I let that come into my mind, I knew that he couldn't do that. I would not be able to do what God is calling me to do. So I knew that if I accepted what that person was saying or how they felt, it would change who I am. And I didn't want that. And I said, Lord, I want to be who you say I am. I want to be who you're transforming me into. And I am a work in progress. And I am not going to let anything hold me back. So as I looked at them, I realized too that if I didn't react a certain way, it's almost like the enemy has a trap set for you. And he expects you to just walk right into it. And you do all the time. You just walk, and there it is. Boom. But when you get right up to that trap and you stop and you say, nope, today is not the day that I'm going to fall for that, and you call it out, it has no stronghold in your life anymore. It's broken. Because you reveal it for what it is. And again, it's a difficult concept, but in the same way, it's a simple concept. Because when you put God first and you put others ahead of you and you allow God to use you the way he's calling us to be used, you will see that it gets easier. So we are called to minister to a dying world the good news of hope and redemption in Christ. When fear is paralyzing them, we are needing to encourage them with God's love. And I have a testimony. A few years back, there was a gentleman that I worked with who had a condition, and he had to get rushed to the hospital one day, and we didn't know what it was. He had a medical alert tag, and he never really talked about it. I really didn't know him that well, but we found out that this gentleman had a heart problem. He was taking medication, and his heart, and he was a young gentleman too, but his heart was broken, and it was beyond repair. All the medicine that they gave him didn't work. And I spoke with him a couple of times, and he couldn't really work that much, so he took off a lot, so I didn't see him a lot. But when I did, I asked him how he was doing. He said, you know, I'm doing the best I can. I'm on the list to get a new heart or heart transplant, and we don't know how long it's going to take. I said, okay, I will pray for you and your family. And he thanked me. So I didn't see him for some time passed, a few weeks maybe or so, and then I saw him again, and I asked him how he was doing, and he said, not well. I'm going to have to leave and go to another state, and they're going to try a different medication, and hopefully that'll But all it's doing for him was just buying him time till the day that he can get his new heart. And I just saw it in his face. And I said, oh, okay, I will continue to pray for you and your family. And one night in a dream, God revealed to me, he revealed to me that he showed me that this young man's time has expired. He was no longer going to be with us. And I woke up with this sense of I missed the opportunity. And I didn't even realize what I was even dreaming about, but I said, what is... But this sense, this of calling that I had, that I never even spoke to him about who God was and how much God loved him. And that was put upon my heart in this dream, is that that's what we were called to do. And when I woke up, I felt a sense of emptiness because the opportunity was there and I didn't take that opportunity to do that. And I just felt a heaviness about it. I need to do something. And I wanted to try to reach out to him to find out what was going on. Because I was a little concerned after having this dream about what might have happened. And I found out that he was coming back in town. And that, you know, he was here to see some family, and I asked the person who was in contact with him to have him come in. So he came in, and prior to him coming, God was prompting me throughout that whole week to say something to him. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to tell him, because this is a problem that's way bigger than me. I am not a surgeon. I'm not a doctor. I don't know what to tell this, like, you know, he's coming down the stretch here, and I don't know what I should say to him. I don't know what it is that you'd like me to say to him, but all I'm going to tell you is I'm going to be obedient. So when that time comes, because in that dream, I knew how I felt when I woke up, and that was not a good feeling. So I said, I will definitely be obedient. I don't know what you're going to tell me to tell him, or I don't know what I'm going to have to say, but I'm going to say whatever it is that you have me say. And a peace came about for a few days, and then all of a sudden he walked in, and I said, okay, how you doing? Shook his hand, we talked. I said, can I talk to you in the office? He sat down, and I looked him in the eye, and I said, before I went in, I just felt God's presence. I knew he was there. And I said, Lord, I'm just going to open my mouth, and whatever comes out, it's going to be of you. I don't know what it is, but it's going to be good, but it's going to be of you. It was three words. God loves you. That was it. And I said, well, I'm waiting for more. And then I learned this. I'm not going to add anything more to it than what God has already given me, because that'll only take away from it. I said, well, are you sure that's it? No. God loves you. I don't know what relationship he has with God. I don't know what type of religion he practices or what. I don't know. But he just looked at me and he said, oh, thank you. Sort of had like a dumbfounded look. Didn't realize that. Yeah, I didn't think he was expecting that, obviously. So I said, just keep in touch. And we parted ways. He went back to wherever he was. I think it was Pennsylvania. Months go by, and then I see him again. He was visiting again family. He comes to me, and he has a look about him that I know God has touched him. And you know that look. When you're ministering to somebody and they are feeling lonely, depressed, and they're losing hope, but you're ministering to them and you're showing them God's love, it might not happen right then. You might not see the manifestation right at that moment, but wait, because God is going to do something great. And when he walked in and he looked at me, I knew. He says, I don't have to take any more medication. They found me a heart. And his father was actually a surgeon. I didn't realize that. So his father actually had relationships with doctors, and he still couldn't find the, you know, it's a very serious thing. And he says, I am healed. And I said, only my God can heal the brokenhearted. And I've never heard from him since. But I know in my spirit that those words that I spoke to him, God loves you, gave him the peace and the strength in his time of need to get through those tough nights when he sat there and thought, where is God? Where is he now? Because sometimes we feel that way. But we have to know in our hearts and accept who he is, even at that time, that he's still working. And he's going to bring us and deliver us from the hands of the enemy. He will restore what the enemy has stolen and bless us abundantly. I pray that that has changed his life, that the hope that because of God's word that I spoke into him gave him the hope that changed his life. Not just so that he can live another day, but that he can live for eternity in heaven. So that was a great lesson for me. But in a way, it's something that really shows the power of God's love. And I didn't even realize it until I started pressing in deeper. In John 13, verse 34 through 35, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And when God says you must, he's not giving you an option. All right? We can't take it or leave it. He's telling us you must do this. So I knew that when he said, this is what you need to do, I knew that I must. I had no choice. And I felt impelled by the Holy Spirit to do what God has called me to do. The next topic is a little touchy. I'm going to get through it. I hope it doesn't come across in a way, but God's love sometimes comes across that way because it is sometimes tough love. And it's a thing that we need sometimes to hear, but we don't want to hear. So you're going to hear it. Okay? It does no good to say that you know God if the love of God is not found in you. In essence, if we say we are not of this world and belong to God, then we must stop acting like we are of this world. What will separate us from a decaying and lifeless world is God's love for us that's in us. That's how they will know who we belong to. And as we walk through life on this journey, we're going to be experiencing different things of God. And he's going to be teaching us ways for us to minister his word and bring the gospel to the world. So how do we show God's love to others? And I really said, wow, Lord, I don't even know if I'm, you know, it sounds like a really complicated thing here because there's a lot going on. And he basically broke it down to me and says, he wants us to open our hearts to receive it. We have to humble ourselves before the Lord to receive what he has for us. Then we need to submit ourselves to what his will is, not our will, but his will. And then we must be obedient to what his word says. And then we need to step out boldly in faith when he calls. And then we need to demonstrate that love to others in our life. So is being a good person good enough? Does anybody think being a good person is going to be good enough when you're up in heaven in front of God? Anyone? No. There's nothing wrong with being a good person or doing good things, but are we presenting to the world God's love? And if not, then all we do is in vain. So we're doing things that are good for them, but really, we're not meeting the need. The need is to show them God's love. Because what we do for them is not going to be everlasting, but God's love is everlasting. The enemy wants us to believe that good works will suffice, be good enough. And God says, no, it's not. Because he commands more from us than just good works. What impact are we making? God is calling us to go deeper, not just to do good things, but to do God's thing. There's a difference and a big difference there. God's thing is to love one another. God's love satisfies justice, which is very, that was a revelation to me. I understood somewhat of what he was saying, but his love will satisfy justice, which is the price that Jesus paid for our sin. His love for us paid that price. We owe it to one another to love one another because he loved us first. He loved us while we were still sinners. His sacrifice, his son Jesus, for our sins laid the foundation of our life through his love. We're not journeying through life just doing good things and checking off a bunch of boxes and saying, Lord, I did this. Look how good I am. Look what I did for you. You called it. You asked me to do this. I've done that. I could have done that. I didn't, but that's not how God operates. In Isaiah 64, verse 6, all of us have become like one who is unclean. All our righteous acts are filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. So I ask you, which one of these would you rather be? A good person or God's person, God's people? There's a big difference there. I'm not really sure in my walk with God when this starts to shift, but when it does, you're going to start to see your life change, because what you're going to do is not going to be done through you, but it's God in and through you doing it, and you're going to see the difference, that the impact it makes on those around you. In Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So as we are going through that journey of life, figuring out what is good and what is good works and what is good in the eyes of the Lord, we have to differentiate the two and not be deceived by the enemy thinking it's okay to do that, but not have God's love be the main force behind it. So when we are in heaven and God looks down upon us, he will see his son Jesus, and he will, and then at that time we will know that we have been redeemed, because God cannot look upon sin, but he can look upon love. Then we will look to our lefts, and we will look to the right, and we'll see those that we've ministered God's love to and know that they are there with us. And the Lord will look down upon us. And when the Lord looks down upon us, he will say, "This is my son whom I love, and with him I am well pleased." Because he will see his son Jesus. So I'll close in saying, remember that it is God that's in you that can love through you. And he is now waiting for you. And there is no love outside of God's love, because it is perfect. The kingdom of God is built on his love for us and our love for one another. So, what are we doing to help build God's kingdom? That is the question he asked me, and that I'm asking you. Are we showing God's love to those that are around us? At any time when you feel lonely and depressed, you can be assured that what it says in this book right here will give you the answers to what you need. That what is in your heart will give you the peace that you need to overcome all circumstances. But without God's love, we are not complete. So I'm going to ask, if you are in need to lay down before God and put it on his altar something that is causing you to feel that you cannot receive or give the love of God, this is your time. I'm not sure you really understand that time is short, and God is calling us now. And I know in my heart that I don't want to miss out on that opportunity. So every day I come before the Lord and I lay before his altar and I say to him, "Lord, take this. I can't carry this. This is causing me a burden, and it's causing me to not want to press in further into knowing who you are. And I can't afford to wait any longer." So if you're ready and willing to receive what God has already given through his son Christ Jesus, now is the time. If you're looking to to receive the goodness of God and to feel the love of God. And you have something inside you right now that is stirring because it just can't wait. But you've been holding it, and you've been holding back, and you've just come to a point where you can't hold it anymore. That's God saying, I'm going to do something great, but now you have to choose to do something for me and step out in faith and say, I'm willing to receive it. So, Pastor, if you'd like to come up, Maureen, we can, and again, you can stand up. I just don't want you to miss an opportunity. I don't want you to feel pressure to come here, but if it's in your heart to come right down the middle here, and we will pray for you, just come right to the middle of the aisle. As God is calling you, don't miss out on the opportunity. We're going to pray for you as a collective group here, okay? So come on. If you're standing up and you need prayer right now, because God is calling you to show you love that you've never really felt before, but now you feel a stirring in your heart because you need to know who He is and how much He loves you. This is the time. This is the time. All right? Don't miss out on the opportunity, please. This is the time to go before the Lord and say,